My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with it. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God. O Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee, how now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream. God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want
to be salt and light and light. Salt and sight and salt and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see, the uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother, and I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps. And she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
Well, good morning. I love the Skit guys. Those are the guys who put together this video. They actually have another video that's like 16 minutes long and has like some other really hilarious ones, but also some like really deep ones as well. So if you were interested in digging deeper and seeing a 16-minute version of that, you can go on YouTube and type in The Way We Pray, and you can find that. But happy family Sunday. Glad that you guys are here. And so just to start off with this, I just want you guys to know that regardless of where you're at, if you are a parent in here sitting next to your kid, if you are empty nesters, or if you've been empty nesters for a very, very long time, or you don't have kids at all, I want you guys to understand that even though we have little ones in here today, the heart of Family Sunday is that this would be us as a church family, that God has blessed us with a church that it is like coming home to family. And the reason why this is God's house is because this is our family as a church body. And one of the beautiful things about that is it's when one of us is hurting, we all hurt. When one of us is praising the Lord, we are all praising together. And a big aspect of that is we want our little ones to see that. I want my kids to know that they have a lot of moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And one of the, you know, the blessings in the way I've seen that is some really, really close friends of ours are literally right back there right now. Their name are Bob and Julie. Some of you might not know this because some of you have actually thought that those are my parents. Believe it or not, they're not. But they are like my parents. Our kids call them Grandpa Bob and Grandma Julie. And they and that is because they have become like grandparents to my kids. And I'm grateful for them on days like this where my wife is working right now, that I can be up here and preach and have people like that. And that's how we want to be as a church. We want to be a family. And where it's almost indistinguishable to go like, are those their family? Yes, yeah, they're our family. So with that being said, it ties right into kind of one thing that I want to plug real quick, which is our Family Fest that's coming up on July 12th. This is going to be just a really, really fun time that we're gathering together. And yes, it is called a Family Fest. And yes, we want kids there, but we want our church family there. We want you there. You know, we want you to, if you've got the Church Center app, if you've got, if you hop on our website, you'll be able to go and sign up for this. We want you to sign up, whether it's yourself, your family. If you want to volunteer and help out, there's a lot that's going to go into it. But we're going to have so much fun together. We're going to play games. We're going to eat. We're going to enjoy being together as a church family. And then also just getting to see our kids have a blast. We're still working on the logistics, but the hope is that we're going to have a dunk tank there as well. And I'm trying to rope Pastor Dell in to, be in that dunk tank. We'll see. We'll see if we can make that happen. But there's going to be a lot of fun stuff. We're going to have water games. We're going to have food. It's just going to be a great time for us to come together as a church family and be together. So on this Family Sunday, I just want to encourage you, come and be a part of that. It's going to be great. With that, like we said, we're doing Family Sunday, and I'm so glad we're here together, whether it's kids, teens, adults, grandparents, friends. When we worship together as families, we get a picture of what the family of God looks like. This morning, we're going to be talking about prayer, and specifically, I want to talk about why we pray. Kids, you've got in your little praise packs, those bags that you got in, you've got a little prayer that has the Lord's Prayer on the back as well. And there's going to be a challenge we're going to talk about later, and you guys can get that too. And regardless of whether you got one of those bags or not, we'll have those sheets in the back for you if you want to grab one. But if you want a great date night or a fun night with your family, next time you're free on a Saturday, I want to encourage you to go to your local hardware store and head to the brightly lit section by the paint samples. One of my favorite episodes of Bluey is an episode called Hammer Barn. And toward the end of the episode, the kids discover the paint sample section where they have all these cards, and they have this big moment of like, are these all free? It's just walls and walls of little paper color swatches. But the reason I say that this is fun for like a date night or just you want to be, have fun, the game that you can play is a hunt for the weirdest paint name you can find. It is an absolute adventure. I'll give you just a sample, no pun intended there, of the peculiar paint names out there. All right, one of them is Dragon's Blood. Flamingo Dream. Ooh, here's a good one. Mayonnaise. Hugs and Kisses, or my personal favorite, because you can't even figure out what color this is going to be, Phantom Mist. So there you go. But a few years ago, I was asked to pick some paint colors for one of the churches that I was working at. And they asked me to try to find just a couple blue and a couple brown paint swatches for what we were going to paint our walls. And I remember going into our Sherwin-Williams and saying, hey, can I just have a couple blue and brown swatches? And they almost laughed me out the store. And once their giggle fits calmed down, they went to explain that they have about 100 different shades of brown and blue. And how on earth, I'm just like looking at this wall and going, how on earth can there be so many shades of brown and blue? But after guessing, going back and forth for at least half an hour, I walked out with 4 sample cans of brown and 4 sample cans of blue. And it took me forever to pick up some samples because I didn't really know what I wanted. And the same thing can happen with prayer. I think many of us go into prayer because we don't know, like we don't pray because we're not sure what we're doing or why we're doing it. And we don't know what we're aiming for. And so prayer is a gift that God gives us. And Psalm 46, which is what we're going to be digging into this morning, talks to us about why it matters, that it's not just something that we do before meals or before bedtime or at bedtime, but many of the psalms that were written in the Bible were songs for the people of God to sing to remind them who God is. And so with that said, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Psalm 46. And we're just going to read the first 3 verses here. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Almoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. Psalm 46 was a song of prayer written by the sons of Korah. This is a team of musicians that worked closely with King David. And many believe that this song was utilized as a communal prayer for God's people, similar to the Lord's Prayer. And archaeologists suggest that this specific psalm inspired other artists too, ancient influencers who would adapt this psalm into paintings. Like if Israel had a radio, this song would be at the top charts, all right? The Sons of Korah would be the Beatles of that day, okay? And so what makes this particular prayer so powerful, it's because it's centered on the purpose behind prayer, and every line speaks to something that God wants to do within you. And so what the psalm tells us is it answers the question of why we pray. And so the first point that I want us to see and that we see in here is to cling to God as our protector. We pray to cling to God as our protector. Let's look at that verse again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Psalm 46 still inspires our artists long after the sons of Korah were gone. Even 1,000 years later, how many of you guys are familiar with the hymn or the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? Okay? That remains one of the most famous hymns of all time. Most people don't know this. It was written by Martin Luther. Okay? That same guy who, if you don't know, he was a reformer who nailed the protest poster to the door of the All Saints Church in England. He wrote this famous hymn after reading Psalm 46. Korah's antique song delivers a timeless passage that whatever is happening around you, God is protecting you. That God is your protector. He is a fortress. He is your refuge. He is a spiritual storm shelter. The song reminds us that God is strong. He is safe. He is secure. And prayer is the path to God's protection. Man, I think the older I get, the more time passes, I am learning more and more that our world is an uncertain place. Wars wage, storms churn, nations rise, world leaders fall. And just everything that's going on, between Israel and Iran. Like, while planet Earth displays so much majesty, it can also be pretty scary. Do you know what proves our point? Or what proves that point? Doomsday bunkers. In recent years, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but in recent years, underground bunkers have become a multi-billion dollar industry. All right, since the world proves to be scary, people invest a lot of money to hide underneath the ground. If you do a simple Google search and you type in survival condos, they took a missile silo that is no longer in use. They gutted it, and they have now created a 12-level luxury underground bunker with a modest price tag of $3 million down, plus recurring membership fees. All of this for a home that you'll likely never live in. Does that seem a little expensive for your taste? What if I told you that these bunkers have a movie theater, resort-style pool, dentist office, library, and an arcade? Still too expensive for your taste? Mine too. But while survival condos, have all the bells and whistles you'd crave for the apocalypse, do you know what they don't have? Windows, park, grass, fresh fruit, oxygen from trees. But they do have windows that create simulated, outdoor escapes so that you can still kind of get that feel, I'm just getting claustrophobic thinking about it. But the goal behind these bunkers is one thing, protection. And Psalm 46 tells us that God is our fortress. Guys, I'm going to tell you something, in case you haven't figured it out yet. God is a way better bunker. God brings protection to you. He doesn't ask us to run away. He doesn't ask us to hide underground. He comes to us. He guards us wherever we are. And when we pray, God protects us. When we pray, we are reminded of that truth. We are reminded that the one who guards is always near. He is an ever-present help in trouble. And if you look back over your life, I bet that you can see moments where God protected you from the wrong choices, from the wrong relationships, from dangers that you never even saw. And while we often think of prayer in the context of provision, the psalmist clearly sees it as a source of protection. Psalm 91, verses 9 through 10 expound on this idea. It says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. God guards you. Prayer deploys an army of angels to protect you. You are safe and secure in God's arms because he is powerful. Prayer draws us close to our protector. The other thing we see here is we pray to help tap into God's power. Let's keep reading verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Our God is powerful beyond our imagination. The earth-shattering reality that God protects us should make our heads spin. But the God of angel armies is defending our neighborhoods. We can have confidence in the quality of his protection because we can have confidence in his power. This song was written as a celebration and an invitation. They asked the listeners to come and see what the Lord has done. They have promises of his power again and again. What do they want them to see? That God's glory is on display all around us. That he ended wars, that he molded mountains, that he put together continents like puzzle pieces. God is powerful, and do you want to know why that's good news for us? Because our powerful God is on our side. Okay, I want you guys to try to wrap your minds around the power that God has. At this present moment, where are you? Where are you? Go ahead. Where are you? Long Grove. Right. I can hear remarks already, like, you know, like, or some of you might be online, and you're saying, I'm sitting in my room, you know, I'm sitting in our living room in Illinois, or, you know, I heard Long Grove at church, you know, Rob, you're going crazy, I'm in the same place as you. But if we were to almost zoom, if we were to zoom out, use our little Google Earth type thing and zoom out, you know, you would see that you are on a planet called Earth. You're on a space boulder floating in the void of the universe. Want to know something even crazier? The universe is expanding with every exhale of your lungs. Think about this for a moment. You are sitting on a giant ball that is two-thirds water, spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. And think about that. There is a ball of fire 93 million miles away, and somehow it never burns up, and that is what is keeping us warm. But wait, there's more. We are flying around that giant ball of fire while spinning 1,000 miles an hour. God is holding all of this complexity in order. To think that if we were at a slightly different degree, we would die. If we stopped spinning or we were just a little bit further away from the sun, we would freeze up. And some of us are just sitting here in our chairs going, yeah, it's a normal day. It's Sunday. What am I going to eat after this? I'm hungry already. We have a God who's holding our very molecules together. He is ensuring that the sun doesn't burn us up to a crisp. He developed plants that enrich our air and food that grows in the ground. And even crazier, God custom made trillions of people. And every single one of them is distinct. Now you look me in the eyes and you tell me that God is not powerful. How can anyone in their right mind, knowing all of these things, say God is not powerful? And if he can hold the universe together, he can help you put the pieces of your life back together. If he can sculpt mountain ranges, imagine what he can build in your career. If he has an army of angels at his command, imagine how safe you are at this moment. And so prayer helps us tap into that. When we pray, we're connecting with God who has all the power, the God who made the universe, the same God who listens to your prayers. The same God who can strengthen you and guide you and help you. And I know many of us could tell stories of how God stepped in, maybe in ways that we didn't expect, and showed his power at work. And the third and last reason for why we pray is to experience God's presence. Towards the end of the psalm, we move from God's universal power to God's personal presence. Let's finish reading this. Verse 8. It says, come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought devastation or desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Here we are encouraged. Those words that almost every single one of us knows. Be still and know that I am God. This is so much bigger than a suggestion to slow down. Prayer opens the door to the presence of God. That we have a God who is simultaneously holding all things together, and yet he desires to have a personal, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. Man, that should take our breath away. Life makes all we move super quick. Our lives move ridiculously quick. Work, school, family, responsibilities, chores, errands, they stack up on top of each other like stressed Legos. And sometimes even when we stop moving on the outside, we're still racing on the inside. But God invites us in this prayer to stop moving, to breathe, to sit quietly and remember that He is here. This is what our soul needs. In the midst of your commotion and chaos, take some time to slow down. Take a break. Find a quiet place. Turn off the notifications, not just on your phone, but in your head. Good luck with that. But He invites us to be quiet, like we heard so brilliantly last Sunday, to just be still before God. And while your body needs movement, your soul needs rest. Your soul needs stillness. And what prayer does is it helps us stop long enough to notice God's presence, to recalibrate our hearts and find peace in Him. The God who commands angel armies is the God who meets you in the stillness. And so Psalm 46 invites us to stop striving, stop worrying, stop rushing, and just be with God. Brothers, sisters, families, prayer is powerful. And it's my hope that you see that prayer is so much bigger than making requests to God. Think about what we would miss if we just were the lister who was going like, I got 745 prayer requests. Think of all we'd be missing out. I told you that skit is even longer if you watch the YouTube version of it. Toward the end, that same guy says, you know what, God, you're probably a speed reader. Or like, you can read this. Like, why am I praying these to you? You can just read these, right? Oh yeah, you're probably a speed reader. Amen. And it's meant to be funny, but how many of us are like that, where we're just like kind of rattling through a list, and how much of God do we miss out on? And the other thing I love about that skit is there's actually the other guy, they go back and forth. One of them is God. And at the end of every prayer, that character says, there's so much more I wanted to talk to you about. How many of us are missing out on the beauty of prayer, of tapping into His power? You know, the one thing I hope you guys would walk away, and it's kind of the combination of all these, is that prayer helps us experience God's protection, His power, and His presence. Let's not miss out on that. So this week, I want to challenge you to build prayer into your daily rhythm. Not as another task on your list, but as a time to enjoy and be with God. Parents, I want to encourage you. Don't just throw that sheet away. We're going to text it out. I'm going to text it out to you. But if you are here and you didn't get one of those sheets, there's a stack of them on that back table. But the beauty of this is that the goal of prayer is not made to be complicated. We don't have to go and turn this into I need to be, spending 45 minutes to pray with my family. Would that be awesome? Absolutely. But I guarantee you, speaking of a father of a 4 and a 3-year-old, that they will not last 45 minutes. And so the challenge that your kids have in the bags with them is simple. It's easy. Maybe one of them is a little bit more difficult. Stop and take 10 breaths. But there's beauty in that stillness. Thank God for a way that He's protected you. Ask Him to help with a thing that you or your kids are facing. And let's commit together to make prayer not just a part of our day, but a part of our life. This psalm starts with a very powerful verse. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. That's a breath prayer. So many times we feel like we've got to have a designated time. I got to go sit in this chair in this room. I got to tell my family. I got to turn my phone on, do not disturb. We're told to pray without ceasing. Do you know that yes, a prayer could simply be, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Amen. It's a grounding. It's when anxieties are high that we can just go, be still and know that He is God. And so I just want to encourage you, literally, we're going to take 1 minute, 30 seconds. If you can pull your kids in, or you can gather people around you. And I want you to just take 30 seconds to pray together, hand on a shoulder. And it can honestly be as simple as a thank you, God, for being our fortress. So we're going to take a minute and do that. Let me pray for us, guide us to do that, and then the worship team will close our time. God, you are our refuge and our strength. Help us to trust you. Help us see your power. Help us know your presence. God, we love you for the gift it is to come before your name, to come before you and find peace and stillness in you. Amen. Take this time to pray together.